Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. Beautiful day outside. Happy to be accompanying you along your day. I want to remind you that if you are used to listening to us in your car, that you can stream us at radio.com, pop us up and listen to us at work. You can also take us on other stations. We are on 97.1, as you know, but especially in the downtown area, we also are simulcast on FM 98.7. And also on AM 1490. So if you find that sometimes we're easier to hear than others, check out the alternative frequencies that you can listen to us on, 98.7 on the FM dial and 1490 on the AM dial. And you can take us along with you. Did you see the baseball call thing yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you showed it to me a while ago.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So we were talking earlier. I think the question that was posed to Katie was, what is a strikeout?
What the heck is it?
And your explanation was...
It's when
three swings.
No, I said no. When three the pitches? Pitcher throws three times and then the batter doesn't get it, then he's out.
I have an idea, Tony. We should ask Katie all the questions about what is this, what is this, what is this in baseball. And then we should play
sounds
her version
so
of baseball.
Fun.
Well, like I said, I did not realize how little
limited
she knew about sports, which is not a bad thing.
What's funny
don't
is
watch sports.
I go to games all the time, but
not,
I totally go for
listen,
the atmosphere.
It's not, I'm not saying that as an insult. I just...
Yeah, you are.
No, I swear to you, I'm not. I swear to you, I'm not. I just didn't realize... I knew you didn't watch or like sports, but I didn't realize it was to that
extent.
Level that you don't know what a strikeout is.
I think I explained it-ish.
That
kind of.
As we said, you did explain a version of a strikeout.
Right.
But there are probably, infinite other versions. You could strike out and see 64 pitches.
Sure.
So what is the so what is the definition then of the strikeout?
It's, you get three strikes, you get three opportunities to hit the ball, and if the ball, if you swing
so
and miss.
So I got the number right. I said three.
Well, sort
not
of.
Exactly.
But if you, a strikeout is when you have had three opportunities to hit a ball that is in the strike zone,
mm-hmm.
and you have not made contact, and the umpire has judged that the ball was in the strike zone, and you either swung and missed it and it was in the strike zone,
mm-hmm.
or you thought, no, this is a ball, this
and it
is
goes
out
foul.
Of the strike zone. No, no, no. Although a foul ball is a strike.
Okay, then.
But,
all right.
But your third foul ball is not an additional strike. You got it?
Did you, sure.
Did you want to write this down?
Sure. No, I don't really care about it enough to write it down.
No, I really want Katie to...
What is a pop-out?
All right. We're not going to be playing this game, guys.
No, that's
I would
my
call
last,
it a fly-out.
That's my last question. Or a fly-out.
Okay. Is that whenever the batter taps it and it flies in a direction that is technically a foul? Or behind? Is it behind the umpire?
Can be.
The fly-out is behind the umpire.
And then
and
what
happened? Where does it go behind the umpire?
Are you just
into the net behind the umpire?
So when you tap the ball into the net behind the umpire.
And that happened.
It's what?
A flyout.
So am I right or am I wrong?
No, he's just repeating what you're saying.
I just want to get your answer. I'm trying to get your answer.
Hillary Gowans from the Illinois Policy Institute is
considering.
Well, she's considering whether she called into the wrong show right now.
I forgot we had a guest. I'm sorry. No, I'm so sorry.
We'll revisit.
Hillary, I'm so sorry.
Hillary, thanks for coming.
I love it.
I got distracted by Katie.
Katie knows. Our producer knows. She is very smart and very intelligent and very invested in a lot of things.
She's just
of which
not a sports.
Isn't sports.
Not a sports person.
So we're having fun
with
her. And shockingly, she's still in the studio with us.
It's okay to not be a sports person.
Hillary Gowans, the VP of Communications at the Illinois Policy Institute, joins us right now. Thanks for coming on with us. Good to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you too, Annie.
So, Hillary, one thing I saw yesterday, I saw this article shared on Facebook, and I'm glad that we're talking about it here today. 40% of the money that the state allocates to education in the state of Illinois is going to be put into pensions. 40% of the education budget goes straight to pensions, not to students sitting in desks or textbooks that they're going to open on their desk. It goes straight to the pension system, and it's not even funded the way it needs to be. Is that right?
Yeah, happy back to school week, guys.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, maybe for a pension drawing teacher that is still fretting whether or not it's going to actually be funded the way it was promised to these hard working educators that it would be there. What is the future of this pension system look like for people who have been counting on this because they've been promised by these legislators that something's going to be there for them when they need it?
Yeah, I think you're making a really good point, Annie. This whole scheme is not fair primarily to two groups: the people who are counting on these pensions in retirement and the kids. So what we're looking at here is, yes, we think we're spending all this money on classrooms, but it's actually getting diverted to pensions. I absolutely believe that we should not endanger the retirements of people who are educating our kids. Here's the other thing, though. Illinois' pension system is going to run out of money in the next few decades if we don't do anything. And now that it's back to school season, I think it's a really great time to stop and think about how we're spending people's tax dollars. And we really need to ask, is it fair to take away money from classrooms in this way and continue on this path when we know the money's just going to run dry?
Yeah, I was reading a Facebook post from somebody that was shared that I saw. And I'm being very vague. And it was from a teacher, and she was going through this long, kind of plea for people to consider how much money that teachers have to put into supplying their own classrooms. So public school teachers, I'm married to a public school teacher, a middle school teacher. They encounter kids all the time that can't afford to buy pencils, that can't afford to maybe buy the calculator they need or the textbook, assessment that they need, whatever the extras are that they need to go out and acquire for themselves. There are kids who just can't afford it and they go without. And many times teachers use their own money to fund these kinds of supplies for these kids because they're on the front line. They see these children in need and they want to give of themselves, and they do. But the question I have is, when that gets tied into some sort of, stump for the teachers union, I get real frustrated because you've turned something that is true into a political plea where you're trying to gain support for this teachers union when the teachers union doesn't seem to be lobbying for those actual best interests for the kids or for the teachers. And then there's no problem that is being solved in the end. The students don't have more from the taxpayers. The teachers don't have more from the taxpayers. And the system goes unchanged. And I haven't seen any proposals for changes anytime recently here. What hope does that teacher who is paying money out of their own pocket, who's concerned about the pension that may not be there, that's been promised for them, what hope do they have today in August of 2019 that this is actually going to be a problem that's solved?
Well, I think there's hope. I think one thing I want to touch on, though, is something you just mentioned. I think it's shocking that there are still these outside fees that you mentioned. When we pay so much in property taxes and taxes in general, I mean, my mom was a teacher, too. She was a second grade teacher for 35 years. So I saw the love and dedication that she put into her job. And she did what you're talking about. She would buy those extra books. She would buy the extra construction paper and crayons to make sure that her kids had everything they needed. And that idea, though, makes me nuts. Why do they have to shell out extra money for supplies? And additionally, up here in my school district, you know, we have extra fees for sports. We have extra fees for registration. We just got our property taxes hiked again because we were told if we didn't pay more, we would lose things like sports and music classes. And I'm looking at my property tax bill wondering, how is this fair? And one thing that I think we should really focus on, too, is, you know, let's take teachers out of the equation for a second. Let's talk about all of the bureaucratic waste in education today. Today, there are over 9,000 school administrators making six-figure salaries. They're going to each receive $3 million or more in pension benefits over the course of their retirement. And I'm hopeful that we can change that because we've got Democrats and Republicans alike working together in Springfield for a change on something that would eliminate a lot of that bureaucratic waste. There's a school consolidation bill run by a Democrat up in Waukegan that would take aim at that kind of administrative waste. So, you know, I think we all pull our hair out sometimes when we think about the stranglehold that these government unions have over things like education and the basic functioning of our state. But hopefully we're going to see some, you know, some bipartisan work to get rid of this low-hanging fruit, and that's the administrative waste.
We're speaking with Hillary Gowans, the VP of Communications at Illinois Policy Institute, online at illinoispolicy.org. You know, those unfunded supplies that are needed in the classroom or the unfunded pension obligation, knowing that there is a time limit on how we can sustain the pension system as it exists right now. Where does the money come from to make up for those gaps in funding right now?
There's nowhere. There's never going to be enough. That's the answer. If we don't do anything to fix the pension crisis, there will literally never be enough money to dig us out of this hole. Here's another example just to show the magnitude of how crazy the growth is. Over the past decade in Illinois, classroom spending grew by 3%. So it's growing, but pension spending doubled. It's crazy. The growth is unsustainable. And so, you know, we can ask where it's going to come from, but the real answer is that no matter how much people put in, and we have been putting in more and more every year, there will literally never be enough. We have to get serious about slowing the growth in this system so that, like you said, people who have been counting on these pensions in retirement don't get that promise broken, and so that kids get the education that we as parents believe they deserve.
I completely agree with you, and I think it's important that people connect with Illinois Policy Institute on Facebook and their Facebook group, the Lincoln Lobby, to make sure that they're up to date with the latest policy initiatives that are out there. And if you want to have some part of the action to try to push things through or stop things from happening, the Lincoln Lobby is one of the greatest places to get the heads up on those. So we always appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Lincoln Lobby as well. Hillary, thank you so much for coming on here. Next time, maybe we'll talk to you about baseball and see what you know about baseball. And you can let Katie off the hook a little bit.
I'm in. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon. Hillary Gowans, the VP of Communications at Illinois Policy Institute. Can we ask you more baseball questions now?
Sure.
We were talking about...
Guys, I'm having so much fun. Just to let you both know.
It's hard to tell when Katie is playing along and when she's playing along because she has to.
Can we ask you more baseball questions now? And she starts turning up the music.
Yeah.
Sure, Annie. Let's do anything you want. Oh, but we have to go to commercial.
I'm the boss.
Great happening, guys.
Oh, we're going to have all flowers in the wall for the rest of this entire show because Katie's not going to let us come back on. She can turn the mics off at any time. She really can.
You guys can turn them on, though.
Yeah, that's true. You can turn them down, I guess.
Yeah, you still have more control.
314-241-9797. I'm going to ask Katie on the break for permission to let callers ask her baseball questions.
Oh, my gosh.
She can tell me no, and I will nix it. But 314-241-9797. We'll see how fun she's feeling.
Get basic, guys. Basic.
Fly out is when the ball hits the net behind you.
Is that wrong or is it right?
When the man taps the ball and it goes up and hits the net behind the umpire, that's a fly out.
314 241 9797 or tweet at Annie Fry Show.
If you've never learned sports, how could you know?
Ask me any questions about pop culture. We could go toe to toe with what I don't know.
I'm not going to do that.
Phones are ringing. 314 241 9797. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here.
You all right over there, Katie?
I gotta get out of here. I've got to go.
Katie's making new words out of people's Twitter handles.
Oh, God help us.
I'm gonna take a few phone calls here before we have some fun, but we're gonna have some fun. Apparently, Randy Quaid has been up to lots of good.
Yes.
Lots of fun for us. Mm-hmm. Tony puts his black headphones on. So if you watch us, if you watch on the webcam at 971talk.com/Annie or at the FM News Talk 971 YouTube page, you can watch us on your smart TV, folks, or chat with us if you watch on your YouTube app on your phone. Tony has two sets of headphones, and when he has his black headphones on, that means he is not listening to the show. It means he's listening to his computer. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Typically, I'm listening to the news, but
gray headphones is listening to this show.
Sometimes I'm listening to something else.
The show that he's on currently. Black headphones means he's listening to something else. And he's like throwing his head back in laughter. So Katie's getting some things for us that we are going to all laugh together. Randy Quaid, Donald Trump, the meeting of the minds. But before we do that, we were just speaking with Hillary Gowans of the Illinois Policy Institute about the fact that 40%, isn't that a crazy number? 40% of the education budget in the state of Illinois is automatically sucked out by pensions. And they're not, it's not fully funded. The mass problem in the Illinois state budget is the pension system and the fact that they haven't rectified it. If you're a pensioner right now, or if you're somebody who is hoping to be retiring as an educator, like my husband, you're really hoping that that promise is going to be kept. But if there's no money, there's no money. And if you have to pillage my paycheck and my husband's paycheck, because last time I checked, all of these educators are taxpayers as well. If you have to pillage the taxpayers that are silly enough to be left in the state of Illinois in order to make good on these obligations, and you haven't done anything to help yourself along the way, good grief, who's going to be left? 314-241-9797. Let's talk to Kevin first. Kevin, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks for taking my call. You're going to be mad at me, though, because I'm not crazy about any public worker, teacher, fireman, whatever, that goes in at 22, comes out at 52, and they're set for the rest of their life, while the rest of us, their customers, are working our buns off till we're 65 or 70 or more. That is crazy. How in the hell did we get here to where public workers work 30 years and get out with 80% of their pay in a retirement system that's separate from the rest of us? I mean, that's wrong. It's horrible. And then you've got superintendents. I'm in the Fox School District, which I'm ashamed to say, in Northern Jefferson County, but I worked as a consultant years ago, traveled all over the states. All it is a money grab. The superintendents and other people in the administration, they're chasing the buck. We just lost our superintendent Clayton School District. He doesn't give a damn about the kids. It's all about the buck. Yeah, and that's Kevin, what the education system is.
Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. And you make a good point, because I have a problem with the same thing he's talking about, which is the expectation of when retirement kicks in. You have to put in a certain amount of service, and then those benefits are just there for you. When we're talking specifically about like non-labor intensive jobs, here's what I would like to have. I would like to have the ability to draw on that retirement be matched up with Social Security, the age of Social Security. Educators don't pay into Social Security. They don't get helped by Social Security. So when you and I, who are paying into Social Security and are going to be relying in whatever capacity each of us individually will rely on Social Security to subsidize our retirement, we are told that you get to start drawing from this at a certain amount of time. You can delay it and draw more. I wish that we would ask that same thing of the public workers. And if they decide they want to retire at 52, let them retire at 52, but your benefits, just like if you decide to retire at 52 in the private sector, you're still not going to get to draw from Social Security until that benefit age is met. And if you want to save up your money and make sure that in the years you spend working, that you've saved up enough money to fill that gap, retire when you're 42. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. But to have it be so opposite of what the private sector has to do, as opposed to what we prop up with taxpayer dollars, people are having to work longer in order to fund the early retirements of these public workers. And I say this without begrudging any public worker who's already taken the benefits that have been accessible to them. I don't think that there's some valuable nobility in saying, well, I could afford to retire now because I'm 59 years old. But I should work till 60, 65 because that's what the rest of my cohorts, my friends have to work to because they're going to get Social Security. So I guess I'll just work an extra 6 years because it's the right thing to do. That's ridiculous. I don't blame anybody for taking advantage within the confines of the system that has been set up and retiring based on that. No problem with that whatsoever. But that's the whole point. We have to have a system that can sustain itself, and the system does not sustain itself right now at all. And we have to do a better job of making sure that the system that we have actually functions the way we need it to function. Let's see. Let's go to Eric. Eric, thanks for calling the show.
Yes, you're going to get mad at me, too, because I'm over here in Madison County in Edwardsville, Texas. Man, the school district's just eating messed up. I mean, it's just constantly going up and up and up. And, they said, oh, too bad. You guys voted the tax raise. We're going to get it anyhow.
Preppy.
And yeah. I really don't care. They go belly up. They go belly up because my pension where I worked at, it's about to go belly up in a couple of years. So I double don't care. Oh. And I worked almost 40 years to get it, and I'm going to lose it. So then how am I going to pay the Madison County taxes?
Eric, why would I be mad at you? I'm not mad at you.
Well, just about the schools, I mean, they got to learn to live less.
Yeah.
They don't need all these superintendents. They don't need all these vice principals and all the rest of this crap.
Well, Eric, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you this, that as much as I think that we need to make sure that we're being extremely good stewards with the taxpayer dollars that are funding all of these things, let's talk about the legislators and what they are doing to make that have to happen. Yeah, I do. My heart does go out to these school districts. I'll speak specifically to the Edwardsville School District that passed Prop E, raised property taxes once again locally on the people within that school district. Why? Because the state's not meeting its expectations. It was a very, very difficult vote for me to vote in favor of or against. And I understand the plight of the district and not being given the dollars that the state owes them because the state was not meeting its expectations. But the answer is always to go back to the taxpayer. And the taxpayer's answer in the state of Illinois lately has been to go to Missouri or Indiana or Wisconsin or Kentucky or Tennessee, the land of the free. Seriously, it is not sustainable. I feel like maybe I gave out the wrong vibe, like I'm pro-tax. Did I say something? Did I say something that I did not mean? Let's go to Murph. Murph, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
I want to talk to the guy who called just a couple callers ago saying what a great deal public sector employees have with their retirement. They go in at 22 and come out at 52 with this great retirement plan. I've been doing it for 40 years. I'm 65 years old, and I've got an underfunded 401k and Social Security. That's it. Every night I'm out there getting punched in the nose, kicked, bled on, puked on, and that's all I've got.
Are you
who the hell is getting such a great retirement program?
Murph, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living?
I'm a policeman.
Well, we're gracious for that. And are you in Illinois or are you in Missouri?
In Missouri.
So what I'm going to say is to clarify what the other person said is I can relate to this specifically. I know people personally who have been able to benefit from being public educators in the state of Illinois who started working right out of college and were able to retire in their mid to late 50s with really nice packages because that's what the state of Illinois promised them, and they took that out. So I would say that your circumstance, and first of all, being in Missouri, and second of all, being in law enforcement is different. But considering what you are going through on a daily basis, our heart and gratitude goes out to you for all that you withstand. And I'd imagine that there's probably never enough that we could do as a society to give you the thanks that we need specifically for your line of work.
Well, that's great, Annie, and I appreciate that. But let's clarify for these folks who think that we're all getting such a great deal. The only people in my business that have great retirements are the people in Missouri, anyway, who work for the big departments, Metro St. Louis, St. Louis County, MSHP, KC. The rest of us are all working for medium to small-sized departments, and we don't have retirement funds. We have to fund our own. My department just recently went from 4% a year to my 401k to me being allowed to match that.
Hey, Murph, you know what? Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I think that there is a big distinguished point here in what we were talking about. The initial thing that brought this to conversation was the fact that 40% of the education budget in the state of Illinois goes to pensions. So I understand the concerns that you have regarding the situation, the retirement that you have in your line of work in Missouri. But I don't want to conflate the two. And I don't want people who feel as though they don't have the situation, the circumstances that we were talking about with the public educators in the state of Illinois to have that applied separately to others. Because it's a different story. And seriously, when you consider the fact that the pension system in the state of Illinois is so underfunded and is not sustainable, and the taxes are already through the roof, we're putting local property tax hikes on top of these larger property tax increases that people are enduring, and it's not even solving the problem. So it's stressful. I feel the pain of law enforcement who feels A, underappreciated on a national scale because people are commoditizing that. And secondly, I don't know how much money you could pay somebody who has to deal with what he has to deal with on a regular basis. That would be, you know, check that box. That's enough. Very gracious for law enforcement here on the show. And I hope that anybody who's listening who is in law enforcement, first responders, definitely feels that gratitude from us here on the Andy Fry Show. Let's take a quick break. We've got a full board of phones, 314-241-9797. If you'd like to jump in here and join the conversation before we wrap up and hand it over to the Dave Glover folks. So give us a call, 314-241-9797. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been talking a little bit about the pension system in the state of Illinois. 40% of the education funds budgeted in the state of Illinois go straight to pensions. Just 40% right off the top. And 40% of that is not even enough to fund the whole thing. So I want to get to some of these calls real quick here before we change the subject. Paris, thank you for calling the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling.
One of the things that I think is something to concern ourselves with, particularly at the college and university level, is how do you now attract talented teachers and educators when they're fully aware that Illinois is underfunded or the pension is at risk? So if they have multiple opportunities, why would they want to teach in Illinois? They would favor some other type of state.
Paris, yeah, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. The pension system as it is right now is not attracting people into the industry. I keep hearing this teacher shortage story in the state of Illinois, and I haven't seen that to be true myself, but I would not be involved enough to know exactly how drastic it is. But you've created a situation in the state of Illinois. The legislature has now passed a minimum wage for teachers, $40,000. That's minimum. Day one, 40K. And I think that goes into effect in 2020. So they're doing what they can to attract teachers. But you, if you're working for a long amount of time and you're being told that your retirement is going to be this and you're doing your job, you're educating children. It's you know, I say this, it's the Lord's work. And I think it's a noble career path. We have to be true to these workers. We have to not hold the workers responsible for the misdeeds of the people running the government and making the laws that have put us in such an unfortunate position. Brian, real quick, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Well, there's so many points there to hit on. I don't know where to start, but I worked in Illinois for quite a long time helping people with their payroll adjustments when they got hired. And the whole system is extremely bloated. There's prison guards making $100,000 a year. Most teachers that have been there for a while are making an extremely high rate of pay. And if you look at what the product they produce, which is, very unskilled workers coming out of school, I don't really think they deserve their full pay. And when their pensions go belly up and they're all union, they always look at the 9 union people that bailed them out. And this, like in Missouri, there's $6.4 billion in the hole in their pension. Forbes magazine and everyone has wrote articles about how corrupt these two states are, and then nobody does anything. And just like with me, I semi-retired early. I had a guaranteed income, and Obama took it away with Obamacare. I lost all my renewals. He stepped in, took over companies, and allowed them to cancel a unilateral contract agreement on my pension. And I lost everything. What I did, I didn't go out and ask people for money. I went back to work. So, you know, a lot of these people think they're entitled, and unions are nothing but socialism. And when socialism crashes, which it is in Illinois, they look at the other people to bail them out, and we shouldn't have to.
Brian, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. The responsibility lies directly on the people who are running this legislature into the ground. They're running the state into the ground. They're not being responsible. They're not being held accountable. And that ultimately rests on the Illinois voter. That's why we need a revolution in the state of Illinois. We need a taxpayer revolution. It doesn't need to be Republican. It doesn't need to be Democrat. It just needs to happen. We need to change out our legislators. And here in Southern Illinois, we have a ton of opportunities to do that, to put in people who are taxpayer centered, who want to see the success of the state going forward. I'm getting text messages from people who want to ask you questions.
Oh,
there's only one that I'm going to read for sure, because it's Corey Malone of Air Comfort Service.
All right, Corey.
And Corey is my friend.
Come on, Corey.
Could you have her explain the intricacies of the infield fly rule with less than 2 outs?
Ha!
Tony, could you explain that?
What?
Yeah, the infield fly rule is probably one of the most... Here's what we'll do. We'll let Katie off the hook.
I don't know what that is.
Explain the infield fly rule to Katie.
If there's runners on at least first and second, and there are less than 2 outs, if a ball is popped up in the infield, the umpire will call it an automatic out so as to limit the shenanigans of a fielder dropping the ball on purpose in an attempt to
get a double play. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of think the double play is more fun, personally. Just let it happen. Because what if they don't execute it, and then you purposely drop the pop fly and you don't turn the double play, and then it's like, ha-ha.
Such losers. In your face.
How many balls does the pitcher throw for a person to walk during an at-bat?
How many?
To get a free base.
How many balls? 3 at a time.
4?
Yes! Yes!
I wish I had something that was not, you know, just... 4 is correct.
That is correct.
Yeah. You know, 1 out of 3 ain't bad.
I also have a text from a family member of mine who is an umpire. It says, pop out is on the infield, fly out is in the outfield.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I did.
Of course you did.
Wait, what?
Katie,
I still don't know the definition. If I gave the right definition of one,
I wasn't going to argue with you when you said I prefer fly out. It didn't matter to me which one we went with, pop out or fly out.
Pop out didn't even sound familiar to me.
Yeah.
So, Katie's definition of it was a ball that gets hit behind the umpire.
Tapped. Yeah, it flies behind the umpire into the net.
A ball that the man taps and it goes into the net behind the
umpire.
What
do you call it if there's no net? Because there's not always a net.
The what? What?
What?
What?
It's just ridiculous. I heard you the first time.
If the batter hits the ball and gets to second base,
okay,
what type of hit is that? How would you describe that hit?
Straight.
Yes.
Double.
Yes.
Double.
Stop right there.
Yeah, no more.
Double.
Toil and trouble. Double, double, toil and... No, double.
That is correct.
Do you enjoy watching baseball?
You know,
You said you go to a lot of games and you enjoy
it. My mom works at Edward Jones. She's got a sweet deal. I go with her to the games because I love my mom. I love the atmosphere. I hung out with your son, Charlie, at a game.
Yeah.
He was schooling me.
Yeah.
He was teaching me some stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to forget it in about 24 hours, but I appreciate it. He's nine. I don't really know if I necessarily sit and watch the game.
But you like the atmosphere.
I love the atmosphere.
That's part of baseball.
I love giant beer.
If you didn't learn sports when you were a kid, why would you know?
My dad's not a big sports person. My mom is. My dad is definitely not. So I just was like, me.
Yeah, I get it.
She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here. Good times. Good times.
I'm not I know baseball pretty well. I'm very familiar with baseball, certainly familiar with my St. Louis Cardinals.
Basketball.
Well, I was a four-sport athlete through my senior year of high school. I played volleyball, basketball, softball, and I did track. And so I'm very familiar. My brother played baseball. My husband was a baseball player. My son plays baseball. My husband coaches it. So I'm around it a lot. So I'm inundated with sports. I pass time with watching sports. Pop culture? No. Nothing. I know nada. Like, I just watched Endgame two nights ago for the first time, and I might be the second to last human.
You both love. You both love sports.
Have you not,
Swiss Frank?
Yeah. Have you not watched Avengers because you're a comic purist?
No.
Or are you just too busy?
I usually catch them on TV.
That's terrible.
Like when they become on demand.
How? What? So which ones have you watched?
Two or three of the Iron Mans and one or, I don't know. I've watched a few.
Movie. That is exactly how I started this in probably like the beginning of May. Let me give you a recommendation. If you have not watched the Avengers movies and you don't consider yourself to be a fan of comics.
I think I've seen two of the Avengers movies.
The stories. You watch these movies. You will enjoy these movies. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't new information.
Except Dr. Strange.
That was still good.
I just said to my husband last night, I want to rewatch all the movies.
Doctor Strange?
All of them.
Come
and
on.
And I think
Tony.
I might like Doctor Strange now more. Yeah. It's kind of nerdy.
I thought you hated that movie.
Didn't like it then. He was strange. Dr. Tony Strange. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.